You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Well, with all the rain we've had this spring, there should be a bumper crop of mushrooms growing out there. Time to go hunting. Well, my guest in this portion of the program is Gregory Mueller. He's an internationally known mycologist. Currently, he's vice president of science and academic programs at the Chicago Botanic Garden. Greg Mueller is also the co-author with Joe McFarland of a new guide to mushrooms from the University of Illinois Press. It is a guide to edible mushrooms in the Midwest. The title, Edible Wild Mushrooms of Illinois and Surrounding States, a Field to Kitchen Guide. There's also a companion website, www.illinoismushrooms.com. You should check that out. The guide describes 40 edible species of mushrooms and offers advice for storing, preparing, and cooking wild mushrooms. It also warns that one must take great care in selecting mushrooms to eat. Poisonous mushrooms are common and can be deadly. The Edible Mushrooms of Illinois and Surrounding States is the first guide to the mushrooms of the region in more than 80 years. By the way, I want to say that our guest, Greg Mueller, his co-author, Joe McFarland, will be at the Urbana Farmers Market at the Square, Saturday morning, from 9 to 11 to sign books and talk with market goers about mushrooms. He'll be near the northwest entrance of the market at Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. Edible Wild Mushrooms of Illinois and Surrounding States, a Field to Kitchen Guide, again published by the University of Illinois Press. Greg Mueller, good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to talk to you, with you.
Oh, my pleasure. I have never eaten wild mushrooms, and I suspect that's true for many of our listeners. What are we missing?
Well, I always think that, in January, you can go to the grocery store and get these things that are round and red and are called tomatoes, and then you compare the flavor of that to what you get out of somebody's garden in August. That's what you're missing.
Oh, man.
The difference, though, is you're still alive, and so that's a good thing. So it's a great hobby to have, but you need to know what you're doing.
Yeah, need to be very careful. I'm missing a great deal then here, aren't I?
Oh, a wild mushroom. I mean, yeah. It's a combination of both the wonderful flavors, but it's also the hunt. You know, there's something about walking through the woods. In the spring, you're looking for the morels. The first, it's been snowed in all winter, and you're ready to go outside and enjoy that. And then as the summer and fall progresses, an excuse to walk in the woods, and it's kind of a treasure hunt. You don't know what you're going to find. Sometimes you're lucky, sometimes you're not. And so that's part of the experience as well. So it's the experience as well as the flavor.
Yeah. I didn't realize this, but a morel picked in northern Illinois will likely taste very different from one picked in southern Illinois. Why?
Different soils. There's some little differences in population. The genetics of them are a little different. But this is something that my co-author, Joe McFarland, and I have been talking about. And well, we need to have the taste test. So he keeps promising to send me all these southern Illinois morels, but he ends up eating them before he sends them to me. So I've never actually been able to test this hypothesis.
Yeah, well, maybe what you ought to do is get down there.
Yes, that's what I need to do.
Into southern Illinois. Given all the rain we've been seeing this year, has this been a particularly good spring for mushroom hunters?
It has been. There's been a lot of things up, and it's just been, it's been a great spring.
And why do mushrooms appear after a period of good soaking rain?
Right. Well, they almost look like they're magical. They're mysteriously, they just pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why one of their common names are toadstools or whatever else, because people thought they were somehow or another magical. But in reality, they're growing in the ground or on the wood or wherever they are for long periods of time. They form a primordium, a little mini mushroom underneath the substrate. And then when it rains, it just takes up that, and it's almost like blowing up a water balloon. It just expands, and that's how they magically appear overnight. They've been growing there, hanging out, waiting for the right conditions, and when things are right, they pop.
Hmm. They're neither plant nor animal.
Correct. They are their own kingdom. And so they've been they were classified for a long time as plants because they don't move. But that's the only similarity. You know, plants make their own food. They photosynthesize. Fungi decompose things or some other ways get their nutrients. So their biology is completely different.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I find fascinating about mushrooms is the things that we see on the surface that pop up in places. That's just, so to speak, the tip of the iceberg.
Correct. So for, it's kind of like the apple on an apple tree, and the fact that these are the fruiting structures, so spores, the reproductive structures are actually in those gills or pores, and so the whole idea of the mushroom is to get it up in the air so those spores can be released and carry away and start new mushrooms. So the long-lived part of the organism that's interacting with other critters and growing through the soil and doing all those things, that's underground and you never see it.
Yeah, and it can be huge.
Yes. So the 1993 or something like that, there was a big story that came out of the humongous fungus. It was up at the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And they found out that this area was covering like 32 acres and all this good stuff. And thought they predicted it was about 1,500 years old. And so my phone was ringing off the hook. People wanted to take trips up there. And I warned them, no, you're going to see a mushroom over here and a mushroom over here. It's the underground
part
that covers that.
Yeah. You just have to use your imagination.
Right.
This book focuses on 40 species of edible mushrooms. How many mushroom species are there in Illinois?
We've already documented over probably 1,500 species, and there's probably close to 2,000 or more species in Illinois.
Yeah. And of that number, do you have any idea how many are edible?
Well, it depends on what you say. You know, there are things you can eat, but why? You know, there's just not the flavor or texture.
Uh-huh.
Then there are things that will make you a little sick, and there's things that will make you really sick. And then there's other stuff we don't know. We don't have enough graduate students yet to feed these things to test them out.
Oh, my, so glad I'm old now. All wild mushrooms must be cooked. Why?
For two reasons. One is some of them have chemicals that actually are broken down by cooking. And then other things, there's just, you know, these are natural products, so there are other things growing in there. There are bacteria and other things. And when you cook that, you just kind of take care of those potential problems as well.
Mm.
So I always recommend cooking things. And they actually, to me, taste much better cooked. There's it improves the flavor, improves the texture after they've been cooked.
Yeah. I mentioned the guide contains a very strong warning about poisonous mushrooms, and we've talked a little bit about that here. So if someone is interested in becoming a gatherer of edible mushrooms, how should they go about it? I mean, other than getting edible wild mushrooms of Illinois.
Right. That's your first stop.
Right.
Course.
Of course.
No, it's the best way is to find an individual who knows what they're doing or a group, you know, depending on where, you know, there's a national club, the North American Mycological Association. There's a Illinois Mycological Association, though for your audience it's going to be a trouble because mostly it meets up here in Chicago, so it's kind of a far trek for a monthly meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really the best, you know. Apprenticing is always the best way to learn something like that. But without that, then, yeah, books. So our book is unique in the fact that we provide multiple images of each fungus, each mushroom, and we have it put together with the poisonous look-alike. So they're right next to each other so you can actually see what's going on. But the more books you have, you know, every book has a little bit different image, a little bit different description. And so it's just, you know, gaining knowledge and then starting slowly, finding one or two things that you know you're positive are good edibles, and then learning to recognize those, and then just slowly picking up additional ones as time goes by and your comfort level increases.
Who developed the recipes in the guide?
Those we went around to chefs throughout the state. So there are a number of recipes from great restaurants from throughout the area, throughout the state. And it's some of them had their favorite recipe. Some of them we said, well, have you ever made this particular type of dish? Pick the chef's brain and figure that's the best place to come. But there are also a couple of, you know, more simple recipes, some that Joe has used or I've used, and that I, you know. So we have, you know, like a recipe from Charlie Trotter's here in Chicago. It's a great recipe. I'm not sure how many people can reproduce that. But we also have, you know, beer-battered morels that almost everybody can, you know, get a little cracker crumbs, dip the morels in that, and fry them up and enjoy. So there's a whole range of skill level represented in these recipes as well.
And as you mentioned, Charlie Trotter, a lot of creativity. We don't have time to talk about it, but there's a recipe in the book for mushroom tiramisu. So
it's great. We go from soup, we go from salad, soup, main course to dessert. And so you could have a complete mushroom meal, you know, multi-course meal just from recipes in the book.
Well, happy hunting, happy cooking, happy eating.
Yep, terrific.
Greg Mueller has been my guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. He's co-author with Joe McFarland of Edible Wild Mushrooms of Illinois and Surrounding States. The book is published by the University of Illinois Press. There's a companion website that you should really check out. The address is www.illinoismushrooms.com. And Greg Mueller's co-author, Joe McFarland, will be at the Urbana Farmers Market, Market at the Square, Saturday morning from 9 to 11 to sign books and talk with market goers about mushrooms.